Christ, amen. Good afternoon, Amazing Grace, and our visitors. And we are just happy to be here with you today to celebrate the greatest gift ever given. Amen. Our salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. So happy Resurrection Day. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you have given us, this beautiful day you have given us as the family of God. We thank you, Lord, for this house of God that we can gather in, Lord, to give you all the glory. And we praise you on this day, giving you all the glory, Lord, for this great gift that you have given us. Father God, as we celebrate this today, let us be reminded that true hope and peace is only found in your word and in your promise. So we give you all the praise today, Lord. We ask that you bless this time and this message. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. All right. Happy Easter, everybody, as we celebrate the victorious King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? All right. And that is the sermon title, all right? The Victorious King. Now, here we go. The book of Mark. Speaking of kings, okay, who would you say is the king of money in the world today? Who's the king of money in the world today, huh?
Trump,
yeah, okay. No, it's not Trump. Mr. Musk, that's right. Elon Musk, amen? And somebody got this right in the last service, but does anybody know what his net worth is as of today? Elon Musk, anybody got a guess?
A trillion.
He's not there yet. He's getting close, though. More than that. How much?
Three billion?
Oh, 53. Maybe 5 years ago, but he's at $800 billion right now, as of this month. He is at $800 billion, and thanks to Tesla, by before the end of the year, they're saying he'll be a trillionaire. So, first person ever, amen? That's 11 zeros, okay? That's a lot of zeros, amen? That's a lot of money. He could pretty much buy any company in a lot of small countries, amen? So, huh? He can have it, right? He can have it. Anything he wants, amen? Almost anything he wants. But what's going to happen? The question is, what's going to happen to all that wealth when he dies? Amen? He can't take it with him, right? You can't take it with you. So what's going to happen to all that wealth? Anybody got a guess? Huh? All his kids. He's got 14 kids. No wife, but 14 kids. Amen? So I'm sure they're going to figure out how to divvy up that money, whatever it is, when he passes away. But yeah, he's got 14 children. So, but there was once a millionaire named Luis Carlos de la Rona, and he was a wealthy bachelor from Portugal, and he had no kids and no real family to speak of, and he was dying. And he had $140 million, and what he was going to do with the money. Obviously, he wasn't thinking about giving it to the church, but he decided he was going to turn his fortune into 70 shares to give to people that he had no people he didn't even know. Amen. He was going to choose people at random in his home city of Lisbon, Portugal. So he's going to pick random names out of the phone book, 70 people. And it's kind of sad, really. You know, this guy had all this money and all this power and no family to speak of. Amen. And so each person that he picked out of the phone book was going to receive about $2 million from a total stranger, right? Amen? So if you were one of those people to get that call, what would you think when you got the call? Prank call? Some kind of scam, right? Got to be some kind of scam, amen? But for $2 million, we're going to check it out, right? We're going to say, hey, I'm going to look into this and see. Just don't send them any money. Don't give them any bank card numbers or anything like that, amen. But we're going to check it out. Yeah, if something that life changing, and that immense, we're gonna look into it, right? And so that's how it is when we look at the message of Easter, amen. What is being offered to us in the resurrection is so much more valuable, amen. Like CJ was saying, right? Than $2 million, right? Or $800 billion, amen? And so we should want to see if it's real or not, okay? And how do we do that? Well, we have to experience it for ourselves, amen? I mean, eternal life, right? That's what we're talking about, eternal life, right? Everybody wants that. Who doesn't want that, right? With so much evidence to speak of, only a fool wouldn't look into this to see just how real it is. Amen? So to see what Christianity really has to offer us. And so this message is more and more real and cherished every day, especially today, with everything going on in the world. Amen? Look at all the wars and rumors of wars going on today, right? There's so much going on. You know, proof and prophecy is happening right before our eyes. If you know God's word, you know prophecy is happening right before our eyes. And some people still scoff. Amen? They still scoff at it. They still say that faith is foolishness. Faith in Christ is foolishness. But I say this just might be the time to get on Team Jesus. Amen? With all the things going on in the world today, you know, you might want to take that chance. Amen? And get on Team Jesus. The world's getting more and more lost day by day. And social media has just given us an even deeper glance into it, right? We know everything that's going on today thanks to social media and YouTube and Facebook and all that, right? You can't hide anything anymore, amen? You can't hide anything from God either. But where's the hope, though, for the future of our planet? That's the question, right? Where is the hope for the future of our planet? What's going to happen in 10 years? What's going to happen in 30 years? What kind of future are we going to have for our children and for our grandchildren, right? Or is it going to be any future at all? Where can we find real hope today, right here, right now? In the world, we look to many of the wrong things for hope, right? We look to politics, amen? If all of your hope lies in who the next governor is or who the next senator is or even who the next president is, then your hope is going to be lost. It's going to be fleeting, if anything, amen? It's not going to last. If you're trusting in world organizations like NATO and the UN, you're not going to find the hope that you're looking for. Amen? You're just not going to find it. And so today, especially on Resurrection Sunday, the offer is that there is hope. There's hope for us all. Amen? There's hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. Right? And that's an eternal hope. The victorious King has risen. He's risen indeed. Unfortunately, though, the majority of the world is not looking or even entertained in that hope that lies in Jesus Christ. Amen? In fact, many are mocking him. But regardless, the message of Easter has never been more relevant than it is today. Amen? Next slide. Those first Christians, they really had to walk by faith, okay? They had to walk by faith because those who are followers of Christ today, we have the benefit of looking back in history, right? And learning from their mistakes in God's Word. Amen? And learning from the truth of God's Word. But you must believe it in order to receive it, right? You can read it all day, but you got to believe it in order to receive it. Back on that first Easter, when Easter came, it was a shock to everybody. Nobody expected it. Amen? The door was closed. Jesus was done. He was dead. It was over. He was crucified. Jesus died on the cross. All hope was lost. And from the time Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took Jesus down from the cross on Friday to the moment that Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, there were no followers of Jesus left. Everybody had scattered. The apostles scattered and they were hiding. Crowds that were cheering Jesus on Palm Sunday were now nowhere to be found. Nowhere. Even the women who came to the tomb, they didn't come looking for Jesus. They came looking for a corpse. Amen? They came looking for a corpse, not a Savior. Nobody was expecting Jesus to walk out of that grave. The Jesus movement of that day was over in their mind, in their eyes. But then something victorious would happen. And we know that to be a fact because it's written in God's Word, in the Gospels. Amen? And Jesus is still the King of Kings, and He's still the Lord of Lords. People are still being saved day by day. We know this is true. In each of the four Gospels, it says that not one of Jesus' disciples who heard Him say that He was going to rise again on the third day many, many times had any hope. They didn't have any hope left. And they heard him say it himself. None of them truly believed. None of them were waiting at the tomb for Jesus to come walking out. They were still trying to figure out what they were going to do without Jesus. Not one of them would say, you know, it's been 3 days. He said 3 days, didn't he? Yeah, should we go check? Let's go check and see if what he said was true, right? No, nobody did. And of course, the women, they came, but they were expecting a dead body. They didn't believe it either. But something happened in that tomb, right? Something happened that will cast out fear forever. Amen. Praise God. Verse 1 says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' dead body. There it is. Notice, the only people still following Jesus are the women, right? And I'd have to guess that's common sense probably played a role in this, okay? That was for my wife, by the way. That's just a guess, though, okay? They would be the only ones to show up to the tomb, okay? But remember, they're only expecting to anoint Jesus' body, amen? It was the spices, so they could mask the smell of the decay, right? They were only going to anoint his body. Verse 2 says, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? They were not looking for Jesus. They were worried about how they were going to get in to see his body. Amen? That's what they were worried about. Because they had to finish the anointing and the embalming, if you will, of that day. The embalming that they couldn't finish on Friday because of the approaching Sabbath. They had to hurry up and take him down and put him in the tomb. Amen? These faithful women were there to bless the body. Amen? But Jesus had risen. Jesus had risen. Verse 4 says, when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, brave women, right? As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, an angel, right? Sitting on the right side, and they were all alarmed. Remember, everyone who sees an angel in the Bible is alarmed. Amen? Anyone who's ever seen an angel is going to be alarmed. But the angel said, don't be alarmed. That's the first thing ever said in the resurrection. Amen? Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified, whom you saw die. He has risen. He's risen indeed. The Greek word for that is egerthe, meaning raised by a divine act. They said, he is not here. See the place where they laid him. He's not there. He's no longer here. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. Amen? I'll tell you about the and Peter thing right now, okay? The reason they said go tell the disciples and Peter is because if you remember, Peter would have been one of the last ones to deny Jesus. Remember when the rooster crowed, right? He denied him 3 times. Amen? He's going to let Peter know that he is risen. Amen? That he is risen indeed. In verse 8, he goes on, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They didn't say anything because they were afraid. There's a lot being said in these few verses. Amen? Mark, of course, has the shortest account, but he packs so much in these few verses. All right? And just like the man who played Judas in the movie The Passion, the man who wrote the book The Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, was also an atheist. Amen? He was an atheist. But in his research to prove that Christianity was fake or wrong, he was going to find salvation for himself. And it's an amazing, amazing movie if you haven't seen it. He was going to find it for himself. The Holy Spirit is a powerful thing when you entertain it. Amen? When you entertain it, it can be a powerful thing. In fact, in the introduction to his book, this is beautiful, Lee says, even as an atheist, he knew that the whole thing rises or falls, lives or dies in the resurrection. Right? In the resurrection. Lives or dies. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Right? Christianity means nothing if Christ wasn't raised from the dead. Amen? No hope. None of this matters. No Easter, no Holy Week, no hope. None of it would matter if Christ wasn't raised from the dead. Mark says, these women went to the tomb expecting to find a corpse, but they still went. Right? They were expecting to find a body, but they still went. Because that's how Jesus works. Amen? If you have just a mustard seed of faith to seek him in the midst of your despair and of your grief, then he's going to give us much more than we expected. Amen? And that's exactly what he does for these women, and he can do that for you today. He can give you much more than you expect. And then the angel says, see the place where they laid him, pointing to the empty shroud. You see, through Jesus, death had been emptied of his power. In fact, later in verse 15, it says, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I think that was in one of the songs too, right? In the world, we look at mortality and we're afraid. Amen? The world's afraid to die. Right? We're afraid. We lose a loved one and we're scared. Amen? We're scared. We see the death tolls around the world and we all live in fear. Especially when things like COVID and stuff rise up. Amen? We all live in fear. But the message of the gospel is that we don't have to fear death no matter what. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear it. Death has been emptied of its power and it does not have the final word. God has the final word. God will always have the final word. The angel said, see the empty place where they laid him. Now, there's a lot of evidence that proves the resurrection, like the empty tomb. Amen? Historical scholars and biblical scholars alike, Christians and non-Christians from the first century all the way to today have wrestled with that problem. That's a problem to them. To a lot of them, non-believers, the empty tomb. Amen? When the tomb was emptied, the Jews thought the disciples took the body to promote a hoax. Right? Oh, they must have taken the body. Right? It's all fake. The disciples thought that the Romans stole the body. Right? And the Romans, they were really confused because they had guards on the tomb and they didn't even know what happened. Right? But the one thing that nobody was saying is that he's still in the tomb, because he wasn't. He was gone. He had risen. Amen? He had risen. Some in the third century would even say that the women had gone to the wrong location. They went to the wrong tomb. That's why he wasn't there. It was the wrong tomb. Amen? And, because women were never really good at directions, so. Sorry about that. Except for my wife. Save. Right. Anyway, security. Let me get security in here, please. But if it was the wrong location, that would mean everybody had the wrong location, right? The angels had the wrong location. I don't think so. Even the guards had been standing at the wrong tomb. I don't think so. The fact that all four gospel writers record specifically that it was the women, they name each of them by name, and that they were the first ones to see the empty tomb and the first to see Jesus risen again, that just proves this is a true story. Amen? Amen. All four written, inspired by God, all four the same account. Because in those days of Roman occupation, women had very few rights. Okay? They weren't even considered credible witnesses in court. So nobody was going to believe them. And there were haters that would even say, don't believe the hallucinations of these uncredible women. Right? They weren't credible. Some say today that the Gospels were even changed over time to rewrite the story and support the legend, they say, that Jesus was raised from the dead. And so if that's the case, if it was a legend, then they never would have wrote it the way they wrote it. Right? Why would they leave it open for speculation? In fact, not even one of those gospel writers would write himself into the story as the hero. Or I was the one that was closest to Jesus. Right? They would all write that they had all fled and that the women stayed behind. Amen? This was a true story. This was to proclaim that Jesus had risen. He had risen indeed. This is the gospel. Now, for the last six verses, not included in the original Greek text, okay? Verse 9 says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and were mourning and weeping when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him. They did not believe it. They couldn't believe it. So they were running to go see him. Remember that? Afterwards, it says in verse 12, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You see, the first century Christians, they were just as likely to not believe the resurrection as a lot of the world is today. We sometimes think back that they're superstitious, they're easily fooled, just because they didn't have Google and an iPhone, right? They didn't know what was going on. Amen? But the fact is, they were probably smarter than a lot of us in a lot of ways. Amen? These devices sometimes they take away our intelligence. But remember, we can learn a lot from history and from those who have gone before us. You see, the church would come to believe in the resurrection, so much so that a lot of the leaders would die for their beliefs. Like in a lot of cases today, the empty tomb could be proven by evidence. Amen? There's a lot of evidence, or lack thereof, either way. Lack thereof, no, of the body, right? The Romans could have just said, if they were right, they could have just said, well, here's the body. Here's the body, end of story, right? But they couldn't produce a body. Amen? If they wanted to discount Christianity, just show them the body and the whole thing would have been over. There was no body. They couldn't, because he had risen. Risen indeed. There's also a thing called, one more thing, called a swoon theory, which says that Jesus was never really dead. They just said he looked like he was dead, he appeared to be dead, and they buried him alive. And somehow, with no medical attention, he miraculously healed himself, which he could have done, and he lived. In fact, he was so well recovered that he was able to move the big, huge stone from inside and walk out of the grave. Amen? If anybody could believe all that, then they probably got more faith than it takes to be a Christian in the first place. Amen? But all that to say that our faith isn't only based on an empty tomb, okay? It's not just based on an empty tomb. It's not religion based on one piece of evidence. It was the empty tomb that led to the eyewitnesses, many eyewitnesses. It's the second important piece of evidence. And here's what Paul says about all these eyewitnesses, okay, in 1 Corinthians. He says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you are taking your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. He was going to remind them of the gospel. He goes on, he says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom at that time were still walking, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles." And so what is the gospel? Amen? What is the gospel? The gospel is much more than just some great advice or a guidebook for our lives. The most important part of the gospel is the fact that the victorious King has risen. Remember, without that, there's nothing. Amen? Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose from the grave. And there's much evidence of that. Much evidence, if you look for it. Amen? Paul mentions that most of the witnesses are still alive. Why does he say that? He's saying that to unbelievers, okay? He's saying, go check it out for yourself. They're walking around. Go ask them. They'll tell you. They saw Jesus alive. They witnessed it. He is alive. He is risen. Ask them. If this story is true, then we have to take everything Jesus taught seriously and submit ourselves to the Word of God, both then and today. Amen? If this is true. If this is true, then this Bible, God's Word, has all power and authority over our lives. Amen? If we let it and we receive it and we make it, amen? It has all power and authority over our lives. And if it's not true, okay, then there's no hope. You can go and pick any false religion you want to. And that's what a lot of people in the world do today, right? How many false religions are out there? And they do that as we, like we're doing today, worship the true victorious King. Amen. The empty tomb and the eyewitnesses were enough for the early believers. It should be enough for us today. It should be enough for us today. But in order to build your own case for Christ, you have to have enough faith to study. It's free will. Amen. To study and search the truth of God's Word for yourself. Nobody's going to do it for you. Amen. You need to do it for yourself. And always remember that the resurrection, it's not just a past event that we believe happened long ago. It's also a present power and it's hope for today. For your life today. For every situation. For every person. For every belief. It's not just about believing the past or trusting the future. The resurrection is right here, right now, today, through the power of Jesus Christ. And it's available to us all. Because as a believer, you guys know, amen, that the courageous King that we preached about on Palm Sunday is the victorious King of Easter today. Amen? He is risen. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. God bless you. Amen? Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, on this Easter Sunday, as we gather together to worship You, we celebrate Your resurrection. We thank You that because You live, we may live as well. Father, we thank You for this new life that You have given us. May we be forever grateful and forever faithful for that precious gift of salvation. Father, we ask that You bless all those who couldn't be here today, all those who are struggling with their faith, Father God, all those who are struggling with their lives. May they give it all to You, trusting in You. Lord, we give You all the praise and glory today. In Your most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. He's risen indeed.